Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Guide all our actions and our thoughts, that we may hear the call of Christ in our lives and respond with great generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome back as we continue our Lenten spiritual exercises. I'm David Kiblinger. In our last exercise, we meditated on the image of a pruned branch. Each one of us is one of those branches, shaped and formed by God so that we can go bear more fruit. That meditation corresponded to the first week of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola. Now we move to the second week of the exercises, which will occupy us for this talk as well as the following two. So what is the second week all about? Different people may give different answers to this question, but for me, it's easiest to answer with a name, Jesus Christ. From here on out, starting with the second week, the spiritual exercises center on the person of Jesus Christ. Tracing the lines of salvation history, Ignatius has us spending lots of time getting to know who Jesus is. We contemplate his incarnation and birth, his public ministry, and his death and resurrection. Considering all that the Gospels tell us about Jesus, it's no wonder Ignatius thought you could fill an entire 30 days doing spiritual exercises. While we can't cover everything in our retreat, I'm picking and choosing those themes which I find to be especially important. The title of this talk is Chosen to Bear Fruit. It comes from verse 16 of the Vine and Branches passage. Jesus says, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." This verse aligns perfectly with a contemplation that Ignatius puts at the very beginning of the second week, called the Contemplation on the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to us on earth to draw people into the kingdom of God. This was his central focus, the thing that gave the most meaning to his life. His very first words in the Gospel of Mark are, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand." And I bet if I were to say, "The kingdom of God is like a blank," I bet you could fill in that blank with any number of images Jesus used. A mustard seed, a treasure in a field, a man scattering seed on the ground, or someone traveling to a foreign country, and so many more. Jesus is all about the kingdom. And here's the deal. Jesus can't bring all people into his kingdom alone. He's one man, living one life in one place and in one time. He needs people to work with him. And so he calls others to come and follow. He called people way back then, but he also calls us right now. He needs us to work for the kingdom in our day and age. This is that reality that Ignatius wants us to perceive and to savor in our exercise for this week. Let me begin with a question. Can you remember something that filled you with excitement as a child? I mean, that kind of excitement where it was hard to sit still? For me, it usually had to do with sports. I loved when college basketball got to the end of season March Madness tournament. I would research all the teams for hours, poring over stats and records just to fill out my bracket. Not that that ever helped much. But I would be glued to the TV for all the drama of the tournament. There was something about it that filled me up with enthusiasm. For my little nephew who just turned 2, it's hitting a baseball. He got this plastic T-ball set last Christmas, and for days afterward, he would wake up in the morning and ask to play baseball before breakfast. I received several videos in my family chat of him, still bleary-eyed and with a bat in his hand, at 7:30 in the morning. As we grow older, those things that fill us with excitement usually change and evolve. I still like college basketball's March Madness, but I dedicate a lot less time to it nowadays. What fills us with excitement now may be a new hobby, a new position at work, a new romance, or a new child. These are all good things. But here's another question for you. What about following Jesus? Does working to bring about the kingdom of God fill you with enthusiasm? It certainly did for me. I spoke in the first talk about a moment in prayer where I felt God speaking to my heart in silent sounds. It didn't lead directly to the Jesuits. I still had a couple years of college left. Slowly, I began entertaining thoughts about entering the religious life. Honestly, it made sort of a mess for my personal life at the time, as I was dating somebody. The attraction of giving my life to God grew to the point where I had to end that relationship. That was really painful for me, and I think even more for the person that I was dating. Because of that, I didn't feel settled in applying to a religious order at the end of college. I decided to continue in school for a couple years while still discerning. What never left me, though, was this excitement about working for the kingdom of God. I remember vividly a few nights just lying in bed right before drifting off to sleep and just imagining my future as a Jesuit. And I felt excited, like really, truly excited about that future. It was that sort of feeling that everything was right in my life. And so I applied to the Jesuits and thankfully was accepted. That enthusiasm for working for Jesus stayed with me in those first few years of my Jesuit formation. I've been a Jesuit now for over 10 years, and that's enough time to go through some ups and downs in my own vocation. I have gone through a few periods of doubt and a few times where I lacked that youthful zeal of before. I'm sure that's a common experience for any of you who are in a long-term relationship or a vocation. In marriage, the honeymoon period eventually wears off. Parenthood is tiring and stressful. And for all Christians, there is this danger of losing this inner fire for following Jesus. Staying excited about a long-term commitment can really be a challenge. Pope Francis has put a lot of thought into how one can maintain enthusiasm for the long haul. One of his first jobs as a Jesuit priest, when he was the same age as I am right now, it was to be provincial. That meant that he was the leader of all the Jesuits in Argentina, from the youngest all the way up to the oldest. His main task was to visit each one of them every year and listen to those joys and the struggles of their religious lives. He was very young for this position, and by his own admission, he committed quite a few errors. These lessons that he learned then helped shape his leadership style today. Now, one thing that must have kept him up at night when he was provincial was the sad reality that some Jesuits had lost their fire. They may still have been functional professionals, but it was clear that their hearts weren't in their work anymore. In the early 1980s, after he had finished his time as provincial, he published an article called On Uncertainty and Lukewarmness. He aimed to offer an antidote to those things which can damage a Christian vocation, especially in older members of religious orders. In that great article, he says, the biggest symptom of the disease of lukewarmness is a complaining spirit. As some religious lose their joy, they become increasingly discontent, and they complain a lot. Instead of being open-hearted and generous, they turn to self-pity and become cynical. Pope Francis thinks the most important thing to do to avoid this lukewarmness and a complaining spirit is for these religious to call to mind that initial spark, that first time they heard Christ calling them. He thinks memory can have a powerful effect on our current lives. It can revigorate us when we are discontent or bored. Since he became Pope, Pope Francis has returned to the same theme multiple times, recommending that all Christians frequently bring to their mind their own calling and initial enthusiasm for following Jesus. For this exercise, I invite you to take stock of where you're at right now. Are you at a place in your life where you feel enthusiastic and generous? Or are you suffering from a lukewarm and complaining spirit? Are you excited about the kingdom of God coming into your work, your family, and your community? What may you need to do to stoke your passion for answering Jesus' call? I suggest you do an Ignatian contemplation, putting yourself in a gospel scene as a character. I have three suggested passages. Two of them are call stories of the disciples. You can be one of those disciples and experience Jesus looking right at you and saying, "Come, follow me." The final passage is the story of Jesus' birth and the visit of the shepherds. I'll end by letting you know why I chose this last passage, which may seem a little out of place at first. I chose it because I want to hold up Mary as a model for this exercise. You may wish to pray with her this week. For me, she embodies enthusiasm and generosity in being a fellow worker for the kingdom of God. Her life was changed radically when God sent the angel Gabriel to inquire if she would be the mother of Jesus. All of a sudden, she was being asked to make costly, long-term commitments to marriage and to parenthood. And she responded with this open-hearted generosity. "Yes, I want to serve the kingdom of God. Let it happen to me according to your word." Then Jesus was born. Without any complaint, Mary makes a long, uncomfortable journey while incredibly pregnant. She gave birth in some stables. Soon she would flee to Egypt as a refugee, small toddler in tow. Her life was not at all easy. This is not even to begin to mention the heartbreak and humiliation she would suffer when her son went to die. But again, there is no hint whatsoever in the Gospels that she complained. What did she do instead? She built up a treasury of memories in her heart. In the passage I suggest from Luke chapter 2, Mary gives birth to her beautiful infant son. She bonds with him and dresses him and lays him gently to sleep. I imagine her just sitting there, gazing at her firstborn child. When out of nowhere, a group of shepherds come with an urgent message. Her child is special. He is the Messiah and the Lord. I imagine in that moment she was just bursting with joy, with relief, with exhaustion, of course, maybe even a little confusion, but most of all, with love. And in that same moment, Luke tells us that Mary took note of all that was happening and reflected on it in her heart. I think it was Mary's habit of recalling moments like this that gave her the strength to endure in difficult times. It was what kept her passion for the kingdom of God burning. She is a true model of one chosen to bear fruit. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.